Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville Sports Bracket. The best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. After tonight, when we get to 9 o'clock, we will have this thing whittled down to our Elite Eight. Eight athletes remaining. And today's voting, go to thegamenashville.com or our Twitter account, at 102.5 The Game, and cast your votes. Right now, the number one seed, Eddie George. Today is the Phil Bredesen region and the David Poyle region. Eddie George, the one seed, taking on Mike Fisher. Eddie George in control with 76% of the votes right now. Pecorine, the one seed, over in the David Poyle region, going up against his teammate, Victor Arvidsson. Pekka in control with 96% of the vote. Bruce Matthews and Philip Forsberg, that's the six versus seven seeds. And right now, Philip Forsberg with 70% of the votes. And the other one is the number two seed. Our guest, Mookie Betts, is on the line, taking the Cinderella story, the 14 seed, Kevin Dyson. And Mookie, you're in control with 59% of the vote to this point. So, by the way, you are the last standing right now that is not a former or current Predators player or Titans player left in our bracket.
I guess we love hockey and football.
Well, our guest that we just had last hour, David Price, your teammate, lost by the slimmest margin yesterday. He was a one seed. You're a two seed. David Price lost to Frank Wycheck by what was it? What did it end up being, 1%? Or was it a half a percent?
It was a half a percent.
Half a percent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it came down to literally the last vote.
Does the homegrown thing not play a part in this?
Oh,
homegrown guys have not done well. I don't understand this.
Well, hold on. Mookie's bringing up a great point because we had R.A. Dickey on. We had Brant Senek. Those guys made the point of what you're saying of, hey, man, I grew up here. Don't I get a little bit of a street cred for that?
Something. I mean, you would think, like, we should get an extra percent just for that.
Well, if you are able to hold off and win and beat Kevin Dyson today and Eddie George continues to stay in control, you will move into the Elite Eight against Eddie George. What do you think?
It sounds like a loss to me, but we'll see what happens.
You're going to have to get active to your peeps, Mookie.
I know. I need to put out a PSA or something.
So how are you and your family doing through these weird times we're all going through?
We're making it. I mean, the best thing I can say about it so far is we haven't really argued.
Well, that's good.
I don't know. Maybe because I stay upstairs and I play my game while they're downstairs watching TV, and then we eventually come together at some point. But maybe because we're staying out of each other's way.
Okay. Well, what is the game you're playing right now?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Madden and Call of Duty.
All right.
I'm in a league in Madden. This is my first time doing it, I'm actually playing with New England. I had no choice.
And how have you fared? By the way, have you been watching some of the, you know, this has been going on? I mean, this is getting televised in some sports. Are you watching
it? Yes, I have not. I haven't watched it. I've seen, like, clips and stuff on Instagram and all those type of things, but I haven't watched it. I don't know why I haven't. I really don't watch TV anymore since there's no sports.
Yeah, that's been the weirdest thing is not having the live sports for sure.
How have you guys been doing?
We're doing a 4-hour show every day with no live sports. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
We've talked about
this is how we get through it.
Yeah.
I will say this, and we're going to have this conversation with you. We, in all seriousness, this bracket has, you know, we've had Eddie George on. I told you, R.A. Dickey, your teammate David Price, and Brant Snedeker. I mean, the list goes on and on, and you join us. We have had some really really good interviews. And really, and I'll save this for Willie because I know he's enjoyed this portion of it. But just like David Price told us some great stories of just growing up, you know, the mindset of you as a kid. I know we've talked with you and your mom about you growing up and, you know, the sports you played and just your journey to get to this point. That's always fun. And, hey, well, we've got all this time. We've had some great interviews out of it.
No, I mean, obviously, you know, I grew up around Nashville playing baseball, basketball, and football, you know, all around everywhere, traveled a lot. As I got a little older, I kept playing. I stopped playing football. My mom made me quit football. She said I was too little. And so, you know, in high school, I just, like I said, I waterboyed every game. I don't think I missed any games. I was on the sidelines every game because all my friends were playing and I wasn't able to, but that was my way to kind of stay connected and, you know, anything I could do to help, you know, I've always been one to help, so I picked up bowling. So I started bowling. I didn't pick up bowling. I just started bowling in high school instead of football. So I had basketball, baseball, and I bowled in high school. And then as I got older, man, I got drafted, went to the Red Sox, and then that was when life really, really hit. You know, I was 18 years old and had to move to I went to Florida first, and then I had to move to Lowell, Massachusetts, which I didn't even know was a place. And I was with, you know, I was 18 with, you know, some guys that were 24, 25, some guys that were 16, most of which didn't speak a whole lot of English, so I didn't really know, you know, it was just a big culture shock for in that aspect. And I mean, I remember I cried at night sometimes because I'd never been away from my family for so long. And then, you know, I never played baseball this many days in a row. Because my senior summer, I played probably more basketball than I did baseball during the summer.
Wow.
Just because I, you know, I really love basketball. And so that was what I did. And so, like I said, I was baseball every day. And I was in Lowell and didn't really know what to do. And I struggled a little bit in Lowell. I think I ended up hitting like 260. Made a whole bunch of errors at shortstop before I got switched over to second base. And so I finished out that year and then came home. And the next year was a little better as far as being away. I was in Greenville, South Carolina. And I was kind of more used to getting away. But I think the first month I was hitting somewhere around 130. And that at that point, that's when I called my mom, my dad, and I wasn't crying this time. I was just like sad, and I called them and said, hey, you know, I don't know if I want to. I don't think I want to do this anymore. I'm hitting 130. You know, I'm like wasting time. I can go play basketball somewhere and be happy. And so I ended up calling a couple schools and got a couple scholarships lined up to go play basketball. And I actually had an ACT. I had to retake my ACT. I didn't know those went bad. Did you guys know that?
That they went bad? No.
Like, they wouldn't take my ACT score anymore.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't like it was high anyway. I think it was like a 19 or 20. I just needed an 18 to get this college. I think it was like 19 or 20. And kids, go to make sure you go to class. Don't do what I did. But anyways, I had to make sure I say that. But anyways, I had 19 or 20, and so they said, no, it's old. You know, you have to retake it. So I got one scheduled, paid my money. I was going to go 8 o'clock. I think it was a Saturday morning, Friday night game. Saturday morning, I was going to wake up 8 o'clock and go take my test. And I think all I needed was like an 18. So I was like, well, I can just try and common sense my way into 18. So Friday night came and we went into extra innings. I think I didn't get home till 1. And I just missed the test because I was like, I can't go with no sleep. And so I told my mom I missed the test. Or to actually both of my mom and dad, I told them I missed the test. And then they were like, well, just give it one more try. And when I said give it one more try, I told my baseball. And I was like, all right, I'll put it in, put them all in for a little bit, and then, you know, we'll move forward. And so I actually went in with my hitting coach and made a little small adjustment, little mechanical adjustment. And I think it was that day was when I hit my first home run, my first professional home run. And then after that, it was 300, 350, 400 until I got to the big leagues.
Wow.
So that's kind of how that played. Yeah, I don't know. I almost quit. Like I really did. I was.
So you were ready to go in a completely different direction. You were going to take your life in a completely different direction in your mind.
Yeah. I mean, I was hitting 130. Yeah, I was walking a lot, made some solid contact, but I mean that was. I mean, you're still everything's so result oriented in my profession that I mean it doesn't really matter, you know.
Wow. You know, I listened to Derek Jeter's interview the day that he was inducted. You know, he learned that he got the vote, and of course, you know, he almost got it unanimously. We're still trying to figure out who the one knucklehead is that didn't vote him in on the first ballot. But he was talking about those same moments for him, Mookie. He was, I think he made something like 58 errors in his first year playing shortstop in the same level that you're talking about, the low class A ball, and I think he hit something like 210. And he talked about the same thing. He had to get a lot of support mentally because that is the thing about baseball. When you play every day, and I went through this too, and I never made it out of there. But, you know, the failure that you experience on a daily basis, that's something that's really tough to come to grips with, right, especially at a very young age.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you're used to being so successful in high school and you know, whatnot before. And so now you get in the guys that are all the same level, if not better than you. And, you know, the tendency is to kind of crumble, but you know, the strong minded guys survive. And somehow my parents got me to flip that switch. And, you know, I was able to stick with it, but you have to, and that, I mean, once the playing field is level, it's the people that the mental side of it is who keep going, and the guys that are not as mentally strong tend to kind of fizzle out.
So thank goodness that you didn't get up and take that test, because you probably would have done well. So if you'd have taken the test, where do you think, and you had the score you were looking for, where do you think you were going to go?
I had talked to Lipscomb and Trevecca. Those are my I knew people at those schools. And I was going to try and use one of those schools to play for a year, hopefully do well, and then try and go to transfer to a bigger school. And so that was my thought. And so, yeah, I don't know where I would have ended up or what I would have done. I'm only 5'9". You know, I don't know how high my ceiling was. But, you know, I knew basketball was something that I could be some type of successful at. But now that I'm older, looking back on it, that would have been a really bad decision.
Well, you made the right call.
Really bad,
that's for sure. So you worked out the hitting part. That was an interesting thing to hear you talk about, because sometimes there's that one adjustment, and then all of a sudden you get the confidence and the results happen. Another thing I remember reading about during around that same time, Mookie, that the Red Sox had Dustin Pedroia, of course, a fixture at second base. I believe you were playing second base at those times, and you were at some point moved to the outfield because they figured, okay, this is how we're going to get Mookie on the field here. But you talked about growing up. You played a lot of positions, right? So that wasn't a crazy adjustment for you.
No. I think – I want to say starting my junior year, that was probably before. Maybe through high school. Like, depending on who we played, sometimes I'd play center. It was always center, second, or short. And – during the summertime when I played, you know, travel ball, then I would play. I don't think I ever played left. Sometimes I'd play right. Sometimes I'd play center. Third, short, second. Didn't play first. I pitched. So I kind of played everywhere, you know, kind of growing up. And so it wasn't too foreign, but at that level, it's completely different. You know, you would think just going to the outfield is something super easy, but that's not the case. And I learned that really fast. You know, like I said, I think I was in the Arizona Fall League when PD signed that deal, and my first thought was I got to get traded. I got to do something. And the following year, which was 2014, I started off you know, playing well, playing second base. And then I think midway through, they started talking to me about moving to the outfield. And I thought once you move to the outfield, you don't come back in the infield. Like it's once you're outfielder, you're an outfielder. So it's infield days are over. And so I didn't want to move to the outfield. And they told me this was my best way to make it to the big leagues. And so that helped me accept it a little more, but I was still kind of not really wanting to do it. But, you know, I kind of had to play the cards I was dealt. And so I worked my butt off trying to be good at the outfield. And, you know, I think the main thing was if I can move to the outfield but still hit, because when guys tend to move positions, it kind of messes with your mental. And so some guys may stop hitting because they're playing a different position. And fortunately, I was able to keep hitting, and I moved to the outfield, played a couple of games in Double-A. Then I got called up to Triple-A. I was constantly playing second base, outfield, second base, outfield, second base, outfield. And then I stopped. I actually got called up, played right field. I think I'm going to play right field two games before I debuted in right field in the big leagues or whatever. And then I got sent down. I came up for a little bit, got sent down, played back to Triple-A. Then I got called back up. I think I was up the second time I got called up, I was up for a while. Like, I want to say it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks, somewhere in there. And I did not play very much at all. And so I was like, man, I got to leave. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not playing. You know, everybody's dream is to make it to big leagues, but my dream at that point was to go back to Triple-A because I just wanted to play. And so I got sent back down, and I'll never forget the day I got sent down the second time, because I walked in that clubhouse in Triple-A, and I was like a kid in a candy store. I saw all my boys. You know, I knew I was in the lineup and whatnot. I mean, I was like, man, this is the best thing ever. So then I got called back up the third time, and I was like, I got to go back up. And, you know, it was strange, you know, looking back on it, like, what was I thinking? But I kind of understood what I was saying. I just wanted to play. And so the third time I came up, I played pretty much every day. And that's when I think that year Petey got hurt towards the end of the year, and I ended up finishing that year at second base. And then 2015 was my no more infield for me after 2015. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Wow, just listening to you say that out loud. When you listen to yourself say that, I mean, just think about the layers of your life and your career, and that you just told us that there was a time like you're going back to AAA. Yes. You know, like how laughable that is today.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, it's crazy. But on the flip side, I wasn't playing in the big leagues.
Sure.
I had a rough time. You know, I think they were just coming off the World Series in 13. And so they were losing a lot. I mean, they came in last in division. I was really the only, I think I was the only rookie. And so it was like little things that people don't think about that were making me want to leave. And it was like, I had to carry the beer, the water. I had to carry bags. I had to do the speaker. I had to be one of the first people on the bus. That had to be one of the first people at the clubhouse. Like I took a nap, and I got in trouble for taking a nap in the clubhouse. Like all those little things. And I was the only one. I didn't have anybody to talk to or to share, you know, to kind of go through this with me. I was by myself. And so that was, I think that all that collectively was like, man, this is for the birds.
it's amazing. A player is accomplished as you now. It took a couple of tries. It does happen more often than people think. The first time you get called to the big leagues, you're not there forever in a lot of cases. We're talking to Mookie Betts. And Mookie, I want to ask you one other stage of your life. Your mom has told the great story that has always stuck with us when she coached your first baseball team over, I think it was at Creve Hall, right, where she said, you know, hey, I'll take all the kids that aren't on a team, and we're going to go play. They might be younger. They might be too small. And I think she said you guys went winless. But take it from there.
Oh, my
who was maybe the coach that took you from that point and put you on the right path to where you said, you know what, I like this game. I'm good at this game.
That's a tough question. I had my dad, my mom and dad were, they put me in really good spots to be successful. And I got it. Like, I got to tip my cap to them. But, you know, I love them just for really, really putting me in the right spots. I had a bunch of good coaches kind of growing up. And, but the main, them two were the main ones that kind of were outside playing catch with me, were outside hitting with me. My dad paved a new driveway just for me to play basketball, just for me to pitch to him. My mom would come outside and run races with me, would throw and all type of things. And so they're the ones that kind of kept me in baseball, honestly, because I was always wanting to, in the neighborhood growing up when I lived in Murfreesboro, I was always playing football and basketball with the neighborhood kids. And so nobody else really played baseball. And so they were the ones that always worked with me. I guess when we had practice, they always watched practice because they wanted to use what I learned in practice and do it at home. And so during other sports seasons, during football season, my dad would go out, he would run the route. I would throw, be quarterback and throw to him. But then in that same week or in a couple of days, we would pitch. And in that same couple of days, we would shoot 100 jump shots a day, which is a lot back then for me, what I thought of at least. And my mom would do the same thing. And so they're the ones that actually kind of kept me in baseball particularly.
We're talking to Mookie Betts, outfielder for the L.A. Dodgers, still getting used to that. And Mookie, you look at your career. You started and played your entire career with a historic franchise like the Red Sox, won a World Series, won an MVP, have had a tremendous journey. Now you're with another historic franchise with the Dodgers. What has that journey been like for you? Have you had to pinch yourself of, like, how am I getting to play for two franchises as great as the Red Sox and Dodgers?
That was my first thing was, dang, I went from, you know, like I said, one historic one to another one. And the beauty of it is, you know, with both teams, they're going to want to win this year. You know, they're not trying to save up for the next 4 or 5 years. And so, like I said, the Dodgers do have the prospects for the next 4 or 5 years, where the Boston didn't really have that kind of those prospects. At least they had some good ball players over there. But, you know, I think I haven't played for the Dodgers yet, so I don't know exactly what it feels like. But, you know, just being a part of them has been, you know, super exciting. You know, being in spring training with those guys, you see them on TV all the time, but now you're with them. And so it's definitely been a cool experience so far.
What do you, with, obviously we're in such a unique situation with no sports going on right now, and we don't know when they'll be back. There have been things that have been floated around with baseball in particular about trying to get the season going. How much do you think about that? Do you have any ideas, or are you just kind of letting it play out and you'll show up to a field when you're told to?
I'm on the side. I let it play out. I mean, they'll figure all that out. Yeah. I'll just show up when it's time to show up. I'm super, super excited about this time. Cause me and my little girl, we don't get to spend a whole lot of time together during the year. And so now I get to, you know, see her and spend a lot of time with her and play. And now I feel like she kind of knows me a little more. Well, obviously a lot more, should I say. And so, you know, she was so about her mom, and I know kids are about their moms, but now, like I said, I get to spend more time with her. I've definitely created a lot better bond with her. And so this time off has definitely been a good thing for me and my family. But also we need to pay some bills. And so I need to get back to work.
I'll tell you this, Mookie, obviously bigger things right now, but these guys know I was very excited. I had my first trip to LA planned, and I was going to come to you guys play against the Braves June 1st. And again, very excited about it. And that unfortunately probably isn't going to happen now. So I was really looking forward to my first trip to Dodger Stadium, but I'll have to reschedule.
Well, Well, I mean, hopefully we can get something in. You know, who knows?
Have you ever played out there?
Yeah, well, I played in 2016, I think. Okay. I played a series out there and then the World Series. So oh, I haven't been
yeah,
I haven't
well, spent duh, any time out duh. There. Yeah, that one just kind of slipped my mind. Whoops.
All these brain teasers that you're throwing out there.
I know.
Your mind has gone to mush for a moment.
By the way, Mookie, it's pretty cool, the Nashville connection now with your – you know, we've talked about this when you and David got traded. You got Walker Buehler and Matt Beatty on that team. He got four Nashville guys.
I didn't know Beatty was a Nashville guy.
Yeah, he went to Lipscomb. Yep.
I didn't know he played at Belmont. Yeah. He played, yeah, because he played with a lot of guys that I played with during the summer. But he's from Nashville?
No, he is not. He is not from
Nashville.
He's from
Georgia.
He is from Georgia, but played at Lipscomb.
Well, that don't count.
Yeah.
At Belmont.
Or Belmont.
Your mind is going, yeah.
Boy, this is
you can't confuse Lipscomb and Belmont. The people get mad over there on the boulevard.
Yeah, that's kind of a battle, just a couple miles apart, no doubt. Mookie, yeah, really good stuff. By the way, how's being a dad? How what have you learned from being having a young one at home?
It's so hard, but it, like, really rewarding when you do it right. It's just you got to do it right, and so you know, you can't just you just forget about personal space. Time alone, you just don't get that anymore, and so I'm kind of learning how to handle that. But that's the hardest thing. Like, I'll just be sitting down, and then she'll just come, like, sit on my head. You know, like, what are you doing? There's a whole couch right next to me. You can sit down, but no, she just wants to sit on your head. So you got to sit on your. And then she'll. The hard part is like how she communicates. I'm learning. It's hard, but I'm learning more. Like, her mom has it down. Like, as soon as Kinley makes a certain noise and points in a certain direction, she knows exactly what she's talking about. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't get that. I think, is that like a just a woman thing, or is that am I behind the curve?
Well, I mean, obviously she spends more time around her than you, and so she's learned all that stuff. I think what you're going to really appreciate as a dad is just the stages. You're just going to go through all these stages,
okay.
And it's just going to be really cool. Like, you're going to tell this story today, and then, you know, we could ask you a year from now, and you'll have a totally different story about your daughter of you can't believe that she does this or this cracks you up when she does that. It's just going through the stages. I have an 8-year-old, and it's fun, man. Enjoy the ride. It's going to be new and crazy and bumpy at times, but it's fun. It's a fun ride.
Yeah, and I think that enjoying it is the key, because, Mookie, I'll tell you what, it goes fast. The next
Everybody
thing
tells you that.
You're
going to
wake up
true.
One day and you're like, she's yep. going to be 14 and doing stuff. I mean, you're like, wait a minute. This was much easier when you were two. You know,
yeah.
I think that's what you're going to have that moment a few times.
Yeah, everybody has said it goes fast. I mean, it seems like it's going so slow. Like, I just want her to be able to tell me, okay, you're hungry. Okay, you have to go to the bathroom. Okay, you want to go outside and play. You know, I want to hear that, but I've heard most people say you don't want to hear that, because then they start talking back and all those type of things that, you know, as we all did when we were young too.
But that's when she gets her personality, and to me, that's the fun part, is learning. Mm-hmm. You know, watching their personality, what they kind of turn and morph into. That's at least for me, that's been the fun part of the journey, and you'll get to experience that as well. Hey, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this, and we hope you guys get back out on the field sooner rather than later, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Good conversation there with Mookie Betts. Fantastic stuff. We'll come back and continue on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I think of the wedding singer when I hear this.
Yes. Definitely.
Right?
It's a good reference.
When I hear that song, that's what I think of. Little karaoke
solid
session.
Solid
there.
Movie.
Uh-huh.
That is a solid one.
And they play that song several times.
So, guys,
times.
I'm sure you guys did not know this, because I had no idea. I wonder if he's ever told that story publicly, that Mookie Betts was thinking about changing And believe me, I know the feeling of sitting out there. You can ask George Plaster. I called George Plaster when I was in Medicine Hat hitting about 150. Like he was saying, I don't know if it was 150 or 130, like Mookie said he was hitting. I was like, is that job that you were talking about with me, is that still a possibility when I get back home? But so I know what it's like to have those, you know, those offers strung together, and you're thinking, am I ever going to get a hit? What's the deal? What am I doing out here? But how about that? He was really thinking about taking the ACT again and then going a different direction and going to play basketball. Isn't that amazing?
I wasn't kidding when I said if one positive, there's been several positives, but one of the positives selfishly is we have had just some fantastic interviews during all of this. That's the most candid. We've been talking to Mookie for years. It's the most candid interview, and I get it. Our lives have slowed down. It's come to a screeching halt. It's not the same, the hustle and bustle. And, you know, think about when we're usually talking to him, or a lot of times, you know, things are really, really active and really crazy. And it's the most candid. I can never remember him being with us. I mean, that was truly that's something you would get on one of those shows that we've talked about in the past, right? That was like a sit-down with like Bob Costas doing an interview, right? Or Joe Buck and some
Roy,
of those shows.
Roy Firestone.
Roy Firestone. We didn't make him cry. He did talk about crying, but we didn't make him cry. But that's the most candid interview I've ever heard Mookie Betts with us, or ever an interview I've ever heard with Mookie Betts. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. If you are just now tuning in and you did not hear this hour with Mookie Betts, go back and listen to it. It'll be well worth your time. And it is amazing, the journey, right? David Price and Mookie Betts, for example. I think it goes to show you the mental side of baseball. And just listening to their stories, and it really is interesting. It seems like at 18 is when everybody – so I guess I've got 10 years to buckle up for what the heck's going to happen with my son. It seems like at 18 is where – you get to that crossroads, right? And I think, Willie, probably for you was a little bit – you went to college, so and I don't think – well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't answer for you, but I don't know when you had – you probably had a crossroads moment before that phone call to George. Did you have one in college where you're like, what am I doing? You know, what have I made the right choice? Why am I playing – I don't know. Did you?
My biggest struggle was trying to figure out, you know, how long I should continue to play the two sports. And of course, my senior year, I just played baseball. That was the big decision, because I was on a basketball scholarship and I had to work all that part of it out. I was fortunate to be able to stay on scholarship, my senior year and only play baseball. So it was. That was the struggle for me, and I look back on it. Of course, I missed out on playing for an SEC championship team, that 93 Vanderbilt team, which I still think is the best Vanderbilt team ever. But, and I'm biased on that, of course, but I missed all that to have a full baseball season, and I don't think I would have been drafted had I not done that. That's the decision I made after my junior year, that if I was going to have a chance to play professionally in baseball, I had to give it a year of just concentrating on it, which I had never done in my life before. So that was my crossroads. And then, of course, I get drafted, and that's what I was referring to before. I went through my struggles there. And I think that's the toughest part about baseball. We've talked about this a lot with Kyler Murray, right, and choosing between baseball and football. The uniqueness about baseball, just that every day you got to deal with failure. Right, and as Mookie said, only the mentally tough and, of course, the talented ones, that combination of both, can survive and get through it and flourish.
That is very true. But to know that both of them were willing to walk away, just think about their careers right now. And
that's
the careers
so crazy
that they've had, that they were both. They came up to a point in their life where they were ready to walk away. And just think about how their life – path would have completely changed to where it is today with that decision. And luckily they made the right decision to stick with it. But to know that they were at the breaking point of going, you know, that's it. And I did. I I made a pact to myself trying to get into this business. I spent luckily I had roommates and friends, and you know, I spent my 20s trying to make this work. And I always said, if I get to 30 and I haven't made it in this business, I'm out. I'm bouncing. I'm going to go do something else. Like, I'll be poor for a decade. But if I haven't made it by the time I'm 30, I'm out. I even moved states. I mean, I moved from Cleveland to here. When I moved here, I was 28. And so that was my kind of like my last-ditch effort. Okay, I'm not going to make it in Cleveland. Then, I picked Nashville. And I was like, well, I'm going to make it here. And when I was 30, I got out. I did. I walked away from this business, which is what I've always wanted to do, and it's always been my love. And I walked away, and I spent a year and a half, you know, and thank goodness Greg Ruff called me one day. Speaking of Trevecca, Mookie Betts brought that up, called me one day and said, I need you to go drop off a resume and a tape to Jim Knott, who's the program director at WTN. And I said, Greg, I appreciate it, man, but I'm done. I wasn't happy. You know, I wasn't happy out in the real world, so to speak, air quotes. I wasn't happy. This is what I always wanted to do, but I made a pact. I said, you know what? I said if I hadn't made it, I don't want to go back to being poor again. I'm done. I did that in my 20s, and I'm done. It's time for me to, you know, be an adult and figure out, you know, how to make real money. And luckily, I didn't listen to myself. And I listened to him, and I did that, and, you know, the rest is history. But I did. I walked away. I said, if I hadn't made it by 30, and when I got to 30 and I was out, I walked away. I had not made it, and I did. And thank goodness those two guys didn't walk away because they made the right decision. But it is interesting,
I'll give you
right?
Another one,
the journey.
Guys. You know what? And I thought about this as Mookie was telling his story. And of course, yesterday, David Price told his about the flipping burgers at McDonald's. The next time we talk to R.A. Dick, we'll have to get him to tell this story. But he went through that period in the minor leagues, and he didn't put it in his book, at least that I remember, and I was surprised he didn't. But I think he had actually talked to Woody Woodenhofer about trying to become eligible to play football and play quarterback for a season at Vanderbilt. Now, how crazy does that sound? I don't know what all the rules were, but I remember him distinctly telling us. I think it was it was before he hit it. It was before he hit it big. I think he might have even made it to the majors at one point. I have to put the timeline together on it. But how crazy would that have been?
Man,
that would have been. I mean, look, and there are a ton of stories that, you know, relate to athletes or Darren like yours. I mean, you know, I have a similar one of thinking about doing something differently if it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. I mean, I think everyone goes through that, but when you, it's so top of mind when you look at a player like David Price or Mookie Betts that have now achieved such greatness. I mean, Mookie won the World Series and the MVP in the same year, and that's awesome. And to think that he considered walking away and playing basketball or doing something else, just, you kind of sit there and go, no, that can't be true. Like, that can't be a real story. But I mean, it is, and that shows you, as you know, we get the opportunity to build relationships, and like Mookie's been coming on with you guys for years, and you have that relationship with him, so we can have that type of conversation. But for a listener, I think that's what's so cool is you hear the human side, and you hear the, hey, that's like me. Like, I've had those moments where, you know, I wasn't sure if I was doing the right thing and thought about walking away. So
I'd be surprised if everybody out there listening doesn't have some type of story, right?
Sure.
I mean, I think everybody's got that story in their life where, by the way, we had R.A. Dickey on. We had a fantastic conversation with him. And just think about what that whole process was like when he learned about his arm and his elbow. And did he, you know, what went through his mind? Is this it? Am I done? And when he made the decision, you know what, I'm going to be a knuckleball pitcher. I mean, just think about that. What probably that time
he had
a
lot of crossroads.
Right.
That's the thing that's uplifting about his book. And he wrote his book before he won the Cy Young. It came out about a year before. So maybe someday he'll have sort of an addendum to it, and maybe part two that takes it from there to the end of his career. Because, you know, he strung together six or seven really solid seasons down the stretch of his career. But I mean, it's amazing to read that book. How many times, you know, he was at a spot where it would have been easy to say, you know what, I've had enough, I've tried, and he had given it all. It's just not going to happen. You know, he spent, what, 6 or 7 seasons at AAA as a knuckleballer trying to get it right and become an everyday, you know, a regular rotation kind of guy.
I think that's what is unique about it, is going back to Chase, the beginning, you know, what you said is everybody listened to this and everybody listened to that interview with Mookie Betts or listened to that interview with David Price, him talking about going in and telling Tim Corbin, you know what, I just want to be a normal person. I'm going to go flip burgers at McDonald's. I think everybody has some type of story. It may not be where they were walking away from a sport, but they may have been, you know, something in their life. There was a crossroads, and they came to that fork, and, you know, they went down a certain path, and they are here today because of something that happened in their life. I think everybody can relate to that. I just do. I think it would be hard. It would be hard to believe that everybody out there listening doesn't have some type of story that their journey when they became an adult to where they are today, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I know, like I said, I have that, you have that, Willie has that, and everybody has some sort of story that they can tell, and it's different for, you know, professional ball player, but, you know, it's also the same, you know, at the same time, it's very similar.
We'll talk about the NFL draft with Dan Chaka coming up at noon with Our Lads Scouting Service. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. All right, we're going to have this thing down to 8 athletes after 9 o'clock tonight. Our Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. Right now, the 1 seed, and today we are trying to complete the right side of the bracket, the Phil Bredesen and David Poyle. Regents, Eddie George right now with 73% of the vote over Mike Fisher. That is the 1 versus 4 seed. Mookie Betts, who we just talked to this hour, right now with 61% of the vote over Kevin Dyson. The 14 seed, Pecorine, cruising with 95.5% of the vote over his teammate Victor Arvidsson. And finally, the 6 versus 7 matchup, Bruce Matthews and Philip Forsberg. And right now, Philip Forsberg absolutely cruising with 72% of the vote. If Philip Forsberg wins, that will set up Pekka having to face 2 current teammates in back-to-back rounds. If he takes care of Victor Arvidsson today and Philip Forsberg continues to cruise, it'll be Pekka Rinne and Philip Forsberg in the Elite Eight.
I'd be curious if that matchup, too.
We're going to have to get word to Pekka here about how well he's doing. He is going to have some serious bragging rights over a couple of his teammates if this keeps trending this way. But, yeah, the biggest surprise is how wide the margin is for Philip Forsberg right now. But it is early. I get the sense that we're going to have a lot more votes come in. But, you know, Kevin Dyson is the one that keeps surprising me. I didn't think he would win the first round, right? He destroyed Ron Mercer, another one of those guys that Mookie was saying, hey, what about the homegrown factor? We should get a percentage just because we grew up here. But that's not part of the criteria. And then Kevin Dyson blew away his teammate Blaine Bishop, right? I didn't think he'd win either round. And now he's actually hanging in there with Mookie, which I don't think it should be close, but that's just my opinion, even though I love Kevin Dyson. But it's about 60-40, so he's still in this thing.
Well, I just think it shows you how important those two plays that Kevin Dyson was a part of actually are. Because I think that's why.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that, and it's why I made the strong case for Kevin Dyson to make the cut. I mean, he was a guy that was a bubble guy, and I made a strong case for him to be in it because not only of those two plays were historical plays. They're not just two plays. They're two historical plays in a franchise's history and a league's history, okay? You can't ever take that away from him. Whether you want to say it's just two plays or not, it's two historical plays, and the fact that he's still here. The fact that Dr. Dyson is still got his fingerprints all over Nashville since his playing days. He's been an athletics director, a head coach. He's been, throughout the high school scene and a part of a Titans radio broadcast. And so he continues to make his mark well after his playing days, and that bodes well for him. I mean, it just does. I mean, he's touched a lot of lives since his playing days. He's a great guy. If anybody's ever been around him, Kevin Dyson is a fantastic human being. And if you've been around him, you are blown away by what type of person he is. So I'm not surprised at all. Like I said, it's why I made a strong case for him to be in this thing. And I'm not surprised at all because I called it that he was going to be an upset special. And I don't think it's going to happen today. I think he's finally met his match. But right now it's the closest one we've got at, like you said, 60-40 for the most part. Everything else is pretty much a blowout. I don't think we're going to get very many blowouts, I don't think, after we get this thing down to 8. I can't imagine.
I would think not. I would hope not. I
mean, right.
I hope it's close. Especially, you know, with the way it's shaking out, like on the other side of the bracket, you have – Pred legend or current player versus Titan legend or current player. So I think it's all Titans legends, but that's what's cool about it is it's Preds versus Titans, and that's kind of where this whole thing begins with sports, pro sports in Nashville. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out.
We're getting a lot of activity on the brain teaser, a lot. Today's
and it's all over the map. I feel better about how much I struggled on this one.
It is everywhere. And I said this one was going to be the toughest one yet. And people are all over the place on this thing. But we are getting quite the turnout on today. And that's good. We need to exercise the brain today. And I know this one is a tricky one. And this one is tough. Hence why the answers are all over. I don't know what it is. I'd say it's probably 80-20 right now. Wrong answers to right answers. Maybe even more. Maybe 85-15. Somewhere in that range. That's how tough it is. Even your wife is all over. Chris Mason was all over it. I saw your boy Andrew Berkshire all over this.
I know.
Trying to get the correct answer, and a
lot of people have changed their answer, right? Or discovered new things,
and that's okay.
All of that. I feel better that people have done it this way because I still, and of course, you know, we're doing the show, so I haven't been able to really. You know, delve into it today. I still don't know the answer. I'm waiting for you to reveal this thing, and if I get a moment here, I gotta do my work again because I'm still stuck. I'm stuck.
Well, it won't get revealed today during the show. It'll get revealed tomorrow at the beginning of the show because my guess is this is going to go well into the night of people trying to get this one. This one is tough, and like I said, people are taking more than one crack at it when. And I don't know why they don't trust it. What's interesting is why do you – and it, I'm not telling them that they're wrong. So I don't know why would you – unless you're – you know, I told you you're wrong when you submitted your answer. And then so you came back with another one. If I'm not telling you you're wrong, why would you keep submitting answers? That's the part I'm a little confused on.
Yeah, because I think people are waiting for confirmation. And when they don't get it, they assume they're wrong.
Well, I haven't done confirmation – this entire week until late that night, and then I'll go like all the right answers to let you know that you had the right answer.
Right, and that's smart because
I want people to keep playing.
Yeah, you don't want to give it away.
Yeah. By the way, Willie, your wife Erin is all about this one. She is trying to get this one. She has asked me several questions on this and that. And wait a minute, is this right? You know. So she is trying to get the correct answer, but she has submitted two wrong ones, and she said she's taking a break, she's working, and she's going to get back after it around lunchtime. But she is determined to get the right answer.
But that's just what I replied to Chris Mason and Andrew Berkshire on Twitter, that I'm just glad to see other people have gone through. I feel better about myself because I've gone through some of these same steps and hit the same traps. There's a lot of traps. There's more traps in this one than the other three that you put out there. Pitfalls.
No question. You have to pay close attention to this one. Attention to detail is something to keep in mind on this brain teaser. We will come back, start the third hour with Dan Chonka from Our Lad Scouting Service. We'll talk NFL draft with him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.